Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Millennial in the Middle. I'm Connor DeLynn. Today is a fun episode that's a little different than our usual interviews. I was recently on my business partner and good friend Landon By the Way's podcast, him interviewing me as we told our story of working together and building a business over the last year. I loved the interview. He posted it a couple weeks ago, got a lot of awesome feedback, and I decided I wanted to put it on my show as well. So what you're about to hear is me, Landon, and one of our other team members, Trevor Call, all talking about this journey we've been on over the last year. To give you a little more background, I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, so you're running Opt, and then there's this studio thing, and you're making podcasts, and how does all of this come together? Well, if you've asked those questions, frankly, I asked myself that question several times in the last year as well, but it's been pretty cool to see all of this come together. And if you're wondering that, listen to this interview. It'll give you a good explanation of how it all came to be. And, you know, honestly, the rest is unwritten. We don't know where this heads from here, but I think it's kind of exciting to share this journey as we're in the middle of it. A little background on Landon, by the way. I've known Landon for several years now and had the chance to work with him on several different projects. And he is a world-renowned, world-class videographer. He really got his start with a company called Full-Time Filmmaker, where he's kind of known as a celebrity within that group of, you know, thousands and thousands of people that have watched him give training videos on how to make videos, how to make good content. About a year and a half ago, we reconnected. He was in a transitional phase. I was as well when it came to our career. And you're going to hear in this interview that it led to the beginning of a business, which is Studio with two I's, that is now converged a bit with Opt. So enjoy this episode. Thanks for listening.
All right, guys, welcome back to, by the way, a studio podcast. This is our second episode with new name, new podcast studio, new team. And we're actually going to be talking with Connor. Connor is my business partner here at Studio, actually.
Yes, sir.
He is honestly the person who helped me create this whole thing. And so we've been working on this business for the last year. It's been quite the journey. But we thought it'd be cool to have Connor on to kind of go back and kind of recount like how it all started, where how it came to be, where I was in my life, where Connor was in his life about a year ago, and how everything just worked perfectly. So Connor DeLynn, everybody.
I love it. Thanks for having me here. We got clapping. We're going to have fun. Excited to talk about this.
Yeah. So quick intro on Connor, by the way.
My last name's not, by the way.
See, I told
my
you.
My last name's DeLynn.
This happened in the last episode. There's all these dad jokes with by the way, and here we are. So Connor DeLynn. DeLynn is his last name. Connor is actually the CEO of Opt. It is a tech company, helps you monetize your time, essentially get paid for your time. So you have meetings that are monetized. People pay you to actually hop on a meeting with you. It's really cool software. I've been using it myself. And he's the CEO of that as of what time last year?
We launched February 1 of 22. So
okay.
About a year.
So back since February. And prior to that, I actually met Connor through one of my clients, Gig.
Yep.
Connor was a salesperson at Gig. And I was doing some work for them just as a freelancer. And then that was, I mean, how long was that? Like 3 or 4 years ago?
I think it was about five. Yeah.
I was
at Gig and I came on there at number four. So it was definitely in startup phase.
Yeah.
And I kind of did all things sales and marketing early on with a company. You wear a lot of hats. Yeah. And I think it's about 2018 when I did my first project with the one and only Landon, by the way.
Mm.
Yeah.
What did we do? I forget.
Oh, it was the... We filmed a speaker reel for me.
That's right.
And then we created a kind of like product video and sizzle video that lived on our website.
Yeah.
For the company I was with at the time.
Yeah, we were, man, I was a really lean team back then. It was literally just me doing everything. And I didn't have access to really anything to film, except like I had my camera, obviously, but location-wise, I think we shot at my old high school on stage, and then we shot at a church building.
Oh, I forgot about that.
We
at a church, and we used the curtains as the background to make it look like we were somewhere cool, and we're in this church gym.
It looked really cool.
Yeah.
You had no idea, but yeah, we were a super lean team back then. Yeah,
gotta get creative.
How far we've come. Yeah, so
we
started.
We still do that. We've still filmed at that high school.
We don't film at churches, though, anymore. We've drawn the line there.
Yeah, we don't film churches. No, we started there and then did that video for you guys at Opt. We did one for you and then one for the CEO of Opt.
Gig.
And then I think that was the first, I think that was the only video we did for a while. Came back, did a few other things. I joined full-time filmmaker after that because that was when I was just a freelancer. And then I found Parker and he hired me on. And then after I left full-time filmmaker, I was doing my thing for a bit. And then I got back in touch with Gig and did one more project. And so I walked into the Gig office not expecting to see you because we were good friends, but it had been a minute since we chatted and done anything. And so I walked into the Gig office and then you were there and you were at a point where you were thinking about actually leaving Gig and doing your own thing too. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how our timing lined up. Right. Yeah. And it really, for me, it actually comes to like this larger feel that the community was having, right? Like during 2020 and 2021, they call it the Great Resignation, right? Like 65 million people left their jobs in the first half of 2021. And what's interesting is both you and I are a part of that statistic. I think a lot of people, when the pandemic happened and we slowed down, we had time to think and getting out of that pattern for a little bit. I think for me at least, and as I've talked to a lot of different people, I've seen this similar theme, kind of finding like, well, what do I value? What is my purpose? What do I want to do with my life? And I think that sort of thinking puts you on a path to think bigger. And so, when you walked into Gig that day, I had great experience at Gig, learned so much, loved the people there, but I was ready to move on to the next thing. I'd been there about 4 years, and I think there was a vibe that I knew something else was coming, and I had a general idea for what it was, but I didn't have a plan, and I didn't know how I was going to get there.
Yeah.
And who knew that the two of us might at least come up with an idea, come up with a plan for the idea.
Yeah, seriously. I just realized we haven't really explained what Gig even is. We don't need to go into details.
Sure. But
software company.
Gig was a software company that did like social media management, social media monitoring, reposting. I worked a lot with influencers there, so I kind of learned the influencer game, what makes them tick, how they're paid, and that kind of led, honestly, to both Studio and Opt. Like the things I learned there, still implementing.
Yeah, for sure. And you were on the sales team over at Gig, right?
I mean, it wasn't a team, right, at first,
you were the
right?
Sales team.
Yeah, so yeah. Like I was all things sales and marketing. We built out a team in that process. But yeah, that was my primary focus.
I'm sure that's coming in pretty handy right now as you're scaling Opt and now Studio, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, everyone has, I think there's a bit of a negative connotation that comes around the word sales. But everyone is a salesperson.
Yeah.
And if you are in business, like you're always selling yourself. And, you know, it's been fun as I've got to meet and work with a lot of different content creators and videographers that have come into you. And it's like, hey, the general principles of sales and making connections and finding pain points and being able to deliver value, like that is across the board something that everyone needs to have. So, am I a sales guy? Sure, but we all should be.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this the other day,
how
over the last year, because I think a lot of content creators, videographers, photographers, whatever, like their skill sets don't really lie in sales.
Yep.
You know, like it's just not common because you're so focused on the creative aspect.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the last year, that's something I've really had to just take on and just, it doesn't mean like you have to take on the persona of a car salesman, you know, but it means you have to understand how your potential customers feel, what their needs are, how to approach them, how to close the deal, you know? So like, there's so many things that I've learned over the last year, just being surrounded by you.
Sure.
And then obviously some other really amazing people that have helped me just be much better at closing deals and being a salesman.
Yeah.
Well, 'cause you didn't even have to do that at full-time filmmaker.
No, that's the thing is like full-time filmmaker was so consistent.
Yeah.
Like it's selling a digital product and there's marketing efforts that push that product, you know? And if we had a sponsored video, it's not like we were approaching these brands saying, hey, can we sponsor it? And we're trying to, can you sponsor this video and can we work with you? They were just reaching out to us. So it was literally us just filtering like, I don't want to work with these guys, but hey, let's work with DJI, you know? Mm-hmm. But for 2 years, literally did not have to worry about that. And it made it really hard, actually, to connect with a lot of the people inside Full-Time Filmmaker, all these aspiring videographers who were trying to build their businesses. It was hard to connect with them on the business and the sales levels because we didn't have to do those things,
right.
You know? And so I think as far as actually growing and scaling and becoming a full-time filmmaker, I actually think I've learned more since leaving Full-Time Filmmaker and just having to do it than I did being inside of it, you know?
Well, like from hearing your experience leaving, you were like, all of a sudden you left, you think that you're going to have a bunch of business because you're at the top of your game. And then all of a sudden you don't have any clients, you have nothing. And you're like, I don't know how to make money.
Yeah.
And so you're just like, oh shit, like, what do I do?
Yeah.
And so it, I feel like a lot of people don't know that side of your story. And so like me coming on, and like hearing more about that and like watching you figure it out is cool. And it's like, that's, I think, what we're going to dive into a lot of
I'm
this
sure.
podcast and,
yeah.
you know, future.
It's a work in progress, you know?
Like, yeah. I mean, this is something we talked about at your workshop a little while back, but you know, if you were to look at a big company or a big organization, they have their departments, right? Mm-hmm. You have like, all right, this is our product department and this is sales and marketing. And then this is our finances and our admin and our logistical stuff. And when you're a solopreneur or you're just getting something started, all of those departments still exist.
Yeah.
They just aren't teams, right? Mm-hmm. And so like I use the phrase like putting on different hats and actually being able to go into a different side of creativity and what's required and how you work, and you can't neglect one of those sides. And so like as you started your, you know, own film company and we're getting into the creation world, it's like, all right, you rock on product, right? Like you are a product guy and know how to put out amazing videos and deliver an awesome product to your clients. But how do you sell it? How do you market it?
Yeah.
How do you actually run a business and the admin stuff behind that? And we all tend to do what we're good at. And what we're good at is typically easiest for us. So that's where we feel most comfortable. And those areas that feel out of our comfort zone are typically where we, you know, either get bogged down mm-hmm. or we don't focus all that much. And that's when your business struggles.
Yeah, it's wild. Like I've seen so many creative agencies and even just solo videographers who have like, they have good content. It's not like absolutely insane. It's good and it's up to a good standard and you know what you might expect. But they have insane clients, and that's because they're just so good at sales and they're
sure.
so good at closing it. And that's the most important thing, honestly. Like obviously the quality has to be there to close the deal in the first place. But man, if you're talented and you have good content and you can manage to be a really good closer, like best of both worlds,
sure.
you're gonna kill it.
Yeah. Or you get big enough where you hire people around your weaknesses, right?
For sure.
The goal, you know, as you scale, as you get going, you want to create a situation where everyone is in their sweet spot, like their money-making zone as much as humanly possible.
Yeah.
That doesn't work when it's just one of you.
Yeah.
But when it's three of you, all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, you're going to focus here. I'm going to focus here. Let's connect and make this work. And that's the exciting part about building a business that grows
mm-hmm.
is the bigger the business gets, the more you find yourself doing the stuff that you really love.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like this podcast, for
yeah,
example.
Here we are.
This is something
we
that,
weren't
like,
doing this a year ago.
No, like, I mean, well, you had your podcast. But
yeah.
No, it's been like for the last, I mean, 6 to 12 months, honestly, we've just been so busy with productions and trying to just scale what we have. And now we're at a point where I'm like, you know, I think we could take a couple hours a week to sit down and have a casual podcast because that's what I find really enjoyable. It's really fun building these sets. And you know, in the end, I think it creates a community and a culture
sure.
around what we're doing. And so it's beneficial. Like there's no question that this podcast is fun and people who are interested in studio really enjoy it, but it's really hard to justify spending time on that when you have clients to worry about and things to shoot, you know?
Sure.
And so, yeah, you kind of, I don't know, you find these little pockets of time to do the fun stuff
yeah.
once all the hard work has for the most part been done.
Sure.
So let's go back though, back to our story.
Yeah. Let's tell the story.
So let's see where were we? January 2022?
Before that. So it would have been like fall 21.
So like October, November 2021.
Yeah, that's when we connected. And for me, One of the things that I've had as a passion project over the last couple years is I've run my own podcast. It's called Millennial in the Middle. It's had different iterations and evolved, as we all do. I started it in the middle of 2020 when everyone was sitting home. And I started a podcast like in my parents' basement, filming on my iPhone. And this is so bad. You can go back and listen to episode one.
I've seen them.
It's the audio from my phone, right?
Yeah.
And, but I think, you know, it was something that I was like, I'm just going to put this out there and see what happens. I released one episode when I'd recorded one episode. Like, I didn't have 10 ready. Got a really good response from that. And I just kind of spoke to things that people wanted to hear. At that time, I did talk about politics. I talked about, you know, what was happening in our society, trying to bring people together. And I'm very much in the mindset that extremes tend to rule the day. Those voices seem to be the loudest, and trying to give a voice to those that are somewhere in the middle and kind of that common sense feeling. So that birthed this podcast. And toward the end of that 2021, been doing the podcast for a couple years now, was looking kind of what's the next phase of this. I really decided I need to step up my content, right? Mm-hmm. Like, now, of course, it had gotten better. I wasn't using my iPhone at this point. But I, you know, when we reconnected, that's what started our conversation. I'm like, Landon, I want to up my game. I want to level up my content when it comes to my podcast. And that started our conversation.
Yeah. And I think, man, there's so many things that happened in that time frame right there, like from fall 2021 up until like January, February 2022.
Yeah.
Because you were on, you had your podcast that you were running on the side at the same time as you were working at Gig as a salesperson. And you were talking with somebody at Gig. I can't remember who it was exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a few people I remember, but you wanted to maybe create a network, basically a podcasting network, similar to like Barstool Sports.
Yep.
And at that point, you and I started talking, I think, because you realized, obviously, you wanted to level up your content for the podcast, but I think you also knew that if you wanted to create this network of shows and, you know, connect with all these creators, you would need somebody on your team who can actually create high-quality content for that company.
You're right. I mean, timing is everything, right? And so I originally was like, I'm going to have you help with my podcast. Then as I reconnected with you, I'm like, oh, you're kind of in between right now too. Like you're looking for what's next. And, you know, shout out to Landon's. Landon's one of the most genuine, authentic guys I've met. And obviously we know extremely talented. And so I looked at this, I'm like, okay, what can we do together here? Right. And that, you know, honestly, knowing that you were looking and that you had talent and time looking to do something new got my brain going in, you know, I'm a visionary, like, could we create this? How could we do Barstool Sports for this? I've worked with these influencers. They all want to monetize. We know content's important. There's got to be something here. I didn't know what it was, but we started talking.
Yeah, for sure. And I think originally it was like, I don't think you realized that I had more of an entrepreneurial like mindset too.
For sure. I was totally surprised by that.
In your mind, I was the videographer because that's all we had done at Gig. And so what started out as you wanting to potentially hire me or have some sort of a commission-based thing or whatever for this new company that you were looking into forming, it turned into like, Landon actually like has bigger, you know, ambition. Like he wants to do a little bit more than just like,
he has a brain. I didn't expect this. No.
He has a brain. No,
he
like
he holds a camera.
It's just funny. Like, and like I knew that, but, maybe I just didn't like exude that, or I didn't show that, that I did have that entrepreneurial spirit. And so it turned into like, maybe we should partner on this and maybe we should talk about that. And so where did we go? Cause it was called, you want to talk about the name?
No, I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
Because we still might use it. And I still own the domains. And okay. I'm working now.
Never mind. No, so we started with that concept. And then it flowed into Studio. Because I think in January, I had already created Studio, the LLC.
Yep.
And I wanted to, basically the goal behind that is I wanted to take my name out of my LLC. I wanted to take my name out of the productions that I was doing because previously it was Landon By The Way Films. And I'm like, man, what if I want to grow to a team and I want to have, for example, Trevor, I didn't know Trevor at the time, but have somebody else filming projects. I don't want people to think that Land and By the Way Films, because they're hiring Land and By the Way Films, that they get Land and By the Way every time. So I created Studio as like this umbrella company, mm-hmm. and it was essentially the exact same thing as Land and By the Way Films, just a new name. And I think one day, you and I were sitting. This is probably like February or March, something like that.
Yeah. So in that meantime, I left Gig in November.
That's right.
Of 2021.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of a free agent at this point. Yeah. At a couple different things. We built the podcast studio in your basement.
Yeah.
And so what started as like, I want to create this podcast studio. We did it in Landon's basement. And then after me doing a few episodes and, you know, having to knock on Landon's door, have his wife come answer and take a guest down to his basement to go record. Like, that's what we were doing there for a bit. And while the studio looked awesome, we knew it probably wasn't permanent.
No, it was like it worked. Like once you were inside the studio, you're like, this is legit.
For sure.
Looks amazing.
Yeah.
But we knew that if we wanted to bring creators in to actually record in that podcast, which is what we wanted to do, because we were trying to create a network of podcasts.
Yeah.
If we wanted to do that, we couldn't stay at my house in my basement doing that forever, because we'd have really awesome guests, really cool people knocking on my front door, and I'd have to walk them through the front entryway and then go down the stairs. You know, it wasn't super professional. And so we knew that we needed to, if we wanted to do this, we'd have to go further.
Yeah. And that led to our Blue Sky Day.
It did. Yeah. So, oh man, you should explain that. You do a really good job.
Okay. So January, February, we're both kind of in this mode now. You'd set up studio. I had some other opportunities that I was working on, but wanted to do this. And I just felt like you and I needed to have a talk that was like, how could we go about this? And I'd read something before. It's the phrase blue sky thinking. And to explain it, it's basically, what would you do if failure wasn't an option, if fear wasn't a factor, and if anything was possible, like you had your druthers and everything, what would you do? What would you come up with? And so I'm like, I want to do this with Landon. So I walked into your basement one day, and I remember saying to Landon, Landon, have you ever heard of blue sky thinking? He's like, no, what does that mean? I explain it. And he's like, all right, I'm down. And so all of a sudden, we spent about 2 hours just talking like, oh, and the other side, if money wasn't a factor, right? Mm-hmm, if you weren't worried about money and the reality of it, what would you do? And so at that point, then I said to myself, you know, we started talking, and I was so impressed with Landon, because when I asked, I'm like, Landon, what's your dream? What's your vision? You didn't even skip a beat. Like, without hesitating, you gave me an answer that was so clear and so concise, and that's when I knew, like, we got to make this happen. And he looked at me and he said, I want to have a studio that's like a home base, like a Disneyland for creators that I can bring people to, that I can have my trademark on, and that, like, we can just make stuff happen. And I remember looking at you and saying, well, why don't we do that? Like, to me, the only thing we're missing is a building.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right. So I think it took us being in that mentality to get to that point.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we made a call.
Well, here, before we go into that too, real quick, because the business that we were creating, we don't need to say the name.
Sure.
But the business that we were creating was something completely different. And we were sitting in the podcast room, and on the wall, I had a studio sticker, like vinyl, like on the wall. And you saw that, and I could just tell, and we've talked about this since, but you just loved the branding of Studio, and you thought it was so legit and so cool.
And you told me what the double I was, right?
Yeah.
I always thought it was just Studio spelled wrong. And and then I was like, oh, that's the pod symbol, like, really cool.
Yeah, pause symbol. So yeah, no, it's just you saw that logo, and I already knew it was legit, and I didn't know exactly where I was going to go with it at that point in time. And Trevor's laughing at me.
I already knew it was cool. I knew it was.
I already knew it was legit. Like,
okay. No, it is legit. I wouldn't have created it unless I thought it was
not an
dope.
Opinion.
Anyways, so you saw that, and that got me excited too. I was like, well, someone else is really enthusiastic about this branding, you know. And then from there, like, I think that sparked something in you. And so when I did mention that I wanted a studio, it was like a little bit more clear for you. Like, he wants a studio and he wants it to be studio branded.
Yeah.
See, this is kind of confusing. Maybe I shouldn't have named it Studio.
I know. It's like, have you been to our studio? At Studio, that's the name of our, Two Eyes.
It's a studio.
Studio is a noun. But yeah, and I think that conversation, I mean, we're a couple hours in at this point. We'd kind of gotten to that. it was like 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, right? When all the best ideas happen.
Mm.
And I said to you, I was like, well, if you want a building, like, let's make a call. So I pick up the phone, throw it on speaker, and we're sitting in the podcast room in your basement. And I called a commercial real estate guy that I had done some deals with in the past, had worked with. And I call him. I'm like, hey, Eric, all right, tell me this. We're looking for a space, and you just quickly reeled off like a few things you want. Like, I need a warehouse spot. I would need several different rooms. We'd like to create, you know, podcast studios here, 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 and recording rooms. And so I explained to him, like, about this size, we'd want about this many rooms and a warehouse space. And he says, he's like, well, I have a spot that hasn't gone up on the market yet, but I know someone's looking to get rid of their lease. When do you want to check it out? And I said, well, where is it? He tells us where it is, right off the freeway in Lehigh. It is like 4 minutes from your house and 10 minutes from my house. And I'm like, that's where it is? Like, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, can we come check it out today? He says, well, they close at 5, so you just need to get in before 5 o'clock. We roll in at 4:45, and this is straight from our Blue Sky Thinking session. Walk into this lame corporate office space, right?
It was like, so ugly,
we're
man.
Looking at this place. Oh. But the vision, like, all of a sudden, both of us looked at each other and were like, this checks every one of our boxes in our backyard. Let's do this.
Yeah. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And then what, fast forward a week and a half, 2 weeks?
Yeah, it happened pretty fast. And this is one of those things that, you know, like when you're trying to explain to your parents or friends, like what you're doing is new business, you're like, wait, what? You're making a 3-year lease on a 7,500 square foot building right now? Like, what's the plan, right? And you're like, I'll figure it out. And that kind of was the mentality. Like, we knew they had to get out. And we basically said, we can't pass up this opportunity. Like, to me, I at the time, I think I just finished reading the book Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey.
And I had finished that like a few months prior, I think.
Or I should say more specifically, listened to Green Lights, because you got to listen to that
well,
one.
Hey, if Matthew McConaughey is going to narrate a book on Audible, you got to listen to
all
it.
Right,
you
don't, all right,
what's this
all
called?
Right. Yeah.
You ever read Green Light?
Oh,
listen to Green Lights?
Oh, it's fantastic. Gosh. For anyone who wants a good listen, yeah.
Yeah, but I think, you know, to me, I was kind of in this mindset of like, when you have things that are just a blaringly obvious green light, that it's like, man, all of this came together and I couldn't have orchestrated this if I tried. Like, to me, that's a sign that the universe is going, go, giving you that push. Yeah. And that was undeniably the feeling that's like, I don't know how this is all going to work. I don't know what this is going to turn into. But I think we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Actually,
sure.
I know we'll figure it out.
Yeah. No, you put so much faith in me at that point in time.
A little bit. Yeah.
Just a little bit. There was investments on that. And there was so much unknown, you know. But I think we knew that we had the ability to create something great.
Yeah.
And the amount of things that just had to line up in that moment for it to work out is insane. Because if we had that Blue Sky Thinking session a freaking week later, high chance we would not have gotten that building.
Yeah. I think that's a good lesson for both life and business too, right? I've got a business partner that calls it the fuzzy path forward. And it's like, to me, what really matters is if you have a general idea for where you want to go, the kind of life you want to have, the kind of business you want to run, and all you need to know is what is like your next step. What's that next thing you have to do?
Yeah.
I have no idea about steps 4, 5, and 6. But if you do step 1 and 2 well, all of a sudden step 3 looks more doable. And I think that was the story of last year for us.
Oh, for
sure. It was very foundational. We don't have it all figured out at this point, but we have a lot more figured out than we did a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I trust that a year from now, we'll say the same thing about today.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, so we got into the building beginning of March, April?
Beginning of March, 22.
Yeah, we got into the building. We had, I don't know, how many months of runway did we have? What was our, like, burn rate? Not a lot.
Well, I mean, most of the investment we were basically spending immediately to renovate the building.
Yeah.
So it honestly, we didn't have much runway at all. It was like we had a budget to through investment dollars to renovate this building, but then very quickly we needed to, get this to where at least we were covering like our nut, covering rent.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we weren't in a situation where it's like, all right, you got 8 months to figure out how to make money on this thing. No.
No, we had to figure it out pretty quickly. Yeah. And simultaneously renovate, like you said, the entire space and figure out what we want the vibe and to be and what we want it to look like.
Yeah.
And I think what was crazy too is I'm pretty sure it was within a few weeks of getting the building that my cousin calls me, who is now the head of he's the head producer at a solar company.
Greenlight.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Head producer at this solar company. They've basically created this sector in the business that is all it does is just produce content for this solar company. Huge, huge budget. And they had been looking for a warehouse space, but they literally just could not find one. The demand was so high and there just wasn't enough available. And they needed just an interim space to come and set up shop. They needed a psych wall, which we had constructed at that point, I think. And they needed an office for their crew. So he came in and we coordinated a deal where they actually just covered our nut for the most part. And actually made it so we didn't have... That came out weird. Does that sound weird?
Nope.
No. I say it because Connor says
Connor
it.
Connor said it first.
Hey, you so got to cover cool. your nut.
You got to cover your nut.
I said it so that makes it cool. Don't live your life by that rule.
So they came in and they actually covered all that overhead for us, or the majority of the overhead, so that we could have a bit more runway and just not have to worry about that big chunk that we need to pay every month.
Sure. That was huge for us.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting. We were like doing the floors, finishing them the day they were coming in. Like you can't move in till Wednesday cause the floors have to dry.
Yeah.
And they worked with us. Like, and what's cool about that is we helped them as well. Right.
Oh,
like
it was a
win-win. They were a big company that finding warehouse space, it wasn't easy. That's why we were so shocked when we found the spot the way we did.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for them, I actually think we probably saved them a lot of money in sites. They filmed national commercials here in the first couple months.
They did.
What it did is it gave us a little bit of breathing room and a little bit of time to figure out what really do we want to do here without necessarily feeling the pressure that we have to figure this out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think that's another good lesson, right? Like the product that you end up selling right at the beginning might not be the product you end up with, but it's what you've got to do in those early stages to get to that point where you have the ground under your feet.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And I agree. It was mutually beneficial. There's no question on that. And I think too, the fact that they were filming like national commercials in there just built up so much credibility for studio as a whole.
Sure.
Because it's like it gave us the ability to say, hey, like there's been national commercials shot, like really big, dope productions shot in here.
Yeah.
And even though it wasn't me and my little team doing it, like people who are inside studio are doing that. And it was just, I don't know, it was so cool. It was cool to be on set on those types of things. And I don't know, I feel like it was probably the best case scenario for us in that point.
Yeah. And I think it did a huge thing for all of us, but I think especially your like personal belief and personal confidence in this, seeing that vision.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about this before, like about the imposter syndrome, right?
Yeah.
And I say, like, if you aren't feeling the imposter syndrome, then you're not thinking big enough. Like, that is something that you should always be feeling like, ah, I'm doing things that I don't know if I'm fully qualified for. And it, like, you want that mindset to stay a step ahead of reality in a lot of times. And I think for you specifically, like all of a sudden you saw stepping into this role of like, oh no, we have something here. This is cool. And I think that allowed a little bit of credibility to be felt first off from within. And when you personally feel credible, you personally feel like you know, hey, I belong, then everyone else can start to believe it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So how long did they stay there, or those tenants that were in here?
2-3 months?
No, I actually think they ended up staying about 5 or 6.
It was a bit, it was quite a few months.
Close. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got in March, at the same time, actually, that I hired Trevor, I think.
Yeah. It wasn't like officially done when you first hired me.
Yeah, Trevor was another green light, for sure.
For sure, 100%.
Thank you.
Yeah. Go green.
Blessing right here, this guy.
I'm honored to be here. I'm just honored to be here.
So yeah, March, Trevor and the studio like, come into play. Like we have that physical location. And then the next month, we bring on Cade. similar situation. It just gives us, it gave us so much time to kind of figure out what we were doing. Because that at that point in time, all the projects that we were working on were basically like influencer collaborations.
Yeah, for me. Or one-offs.
Or yeah, or one-off videos. We hadn't figured out what our deliverables were.
We didn't even have anybody in co-working.
No,
like studio was, we didn't, there were so many directions that we wanted to go and could have gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And then, so yeah, those guys lasted, I think, 5 or 6 months, like you said. Mm-hmm. And then once they left, it was like, all right, let's do this. And I think we were at a much better point by then already, but it was a little bit of a reality check. It's like, okay, now we have overhead to figure out.
Yeah.
And we moved from there. Yeah. What happened after that?
Because
you simultaneously, later. What's interesting is Connor is a part owner at Studio and my partner here and great resource. But simultaneously, you were also working at Opt, your startup.
Yeah. So I mean, to be personal here, like I then had some green lights in other areas of my life where my experience in the tech world and kind of early in the startup, all of a sudden I connected with an investor who brought a general idea for an app, a software that could be used, and basically hired me to come on as a co-founder and serving CEO of this company that became what is now Opt. And my business partner there, Jason Peterson, who is a legend. I love that man. Like, he's every time I meet with him, I feel like I learn so much. In fact, like, I'm looking at the whiteboard behind us that's like his mad scientist, everything there, you know, from a half hour meeting that comes out of it. But all of a sudden, what's really cool, and I think this is how life works a lot of times, like, to me, I saw back in March of 2022, Studio and Opt as very, very separate things and almost competitive of each other, right? Because they're competitive on my time.
Yeah.
And so what did I have to do? Like, Opt was, that was my day job, right? Like, that's where I was putting all my focus and energy, and I, you know, it was getting paid to do it, and I was a part of that piece. And all of a sudden, it was like, okay, Landon, I'm here as an advisor, I'm here as an investor, and wanted to help out, but wasn't able to jump in really. And now, what's been cool across this evolution is, as we now have built the tool at Opt, we've realized that, well, who this helps more than anything else are those whose time, their experience, their expertise, their skill, that's the product they're trying to sell. And who falls under that umbrella? Influencers, coaches, consultants, you know, you name it, in this very much, you know, gig economy, solopreneur world. Well, what gets those people opportunities in the first place? It's content. We all know it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we started seeing a synergy that we couldn't have even imagined at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, oh, well, what if to help both of these companies, we bundle some of these offerings. So for people that are looking to monetize their time, what do they need? They need more opportunities, and they need a higher conversion on those opportunities that come. And I mean, now maybe I'm giving it away, but this is really, really fresh. Like, Opt headquarters, as of last week, has moved into Studio.
Yeah.
The office here. We've got 5 or 6 filming days planned for the next month or two with some of Opt's clients.
Yeah.
And then even really cool too, my business partner at Opt has basically said, I want to be involved in Studio. He loves what we're doing here. And we kind of like Landon. We think Landon brings something pretty good to the table. And so, Landon, you're now involved in Opt with us.
Yeah.
And so,
there's just so much good synergy, you know?
Yeah, like both of these companies now have the 3 majority shareholders are the same 3 people of both companies. And now I feel like nothing's holding us back.
Oh, big time. Yeah, it's super nice because obviously Studio, we're doing well, but we're always looking for ways to expand and other, you know, industries to get into. And so what we've created with you guys is really cool. And the packages that we've created, the product offering is sweet. And so Opt, I mean, it won't surprise me if this year Opt becomes Studio's biggest client, honestly, because you're feeding so many people to us. And then on the Opt side, I mean, I've used Opt for my own meetings. Like, I've actually done mentorship sessions, and I've used Opt to actually be the the software that I use to actually make those meetings happen and get paid for my time. And so studio benefits from having opt-in here. And then on the op side, I have a lot of really good insight because I've used the software and I plan on continually using it. And I have the influencer background, but I also have the production background, you know? Sure. And so there's so much synergy between the two companies. And I don't think you couldn't have said that in what, February or March or whatever of last year, but things have progressed so well. And so I don't know. It's just crazy how things lined up.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think hopefully what we're figuring out is, you know, any business is going to start in a one-to-one mentality,
yeah.
right? And then your goal is to go, okay, how do we get that to one-to-many? And then ultimately that like one-to-everybody. And that's hard to do in the content creation world, right? And so all of a sudden, if you pair that with software that allows you to do more, get more bang for your buck and scale, then, you know, potentially you can do some really cool things. And
yeah.
that's our fuzzy path forward for the next year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a wild ride so far. I can't believe, I mean, it sometimes it feels like we've been doing this for like a decade. And then other times it's like, it's only been a month, you know?
Yeah. Time's relative.
Yeah. It's crazy. So what's next?
What's next?
Yeah.
I just gave everyone the fuzzy path forward. No, I mean, I think what's next is I'm really excited about the shared synergy of both Opt and Studio. I'm excited to get more people coming through this building, right? Yeah. I think every time someone comes into this building, you're like, I had no idea this was here, right? Yeah. You've hosted workshops with people coming all over the country into this building, and I want this to become a hub for creators, for people that have something good to say, that are making a difference in the world and want to use content to turn that into, you know, your business or some sort of monetization opportunity. And I think that we're going to help people do that. I think there's more opportunity with social media and the power of content right now to reach more people than ever before. Mm-hmm. But with that, there's so much noise out there. It just becomes so important to have that be differentiated and have that leveled up, that next step. And I think we're already doing that. And I think we're going to get a lot better at it. And I hope we can help a lot of people help a lot of people.
Yeah.
And businesses that are built on that abundance mentality, like if all you try to do is help other people win, you can't help but win yourself.
100%. I mean, yeah. at the end of the day, we're creating a community here,
yeah.
you know, and we have tons of ways that you can be involved, tons of product offerings,
yeah.
tons of things that you can do at Studio. But yeah, in the end, this is just a giant community. That's all we wanted. This is the network that you wanted. Yeah. This is what we were creating a year ago. It just found itself in a new form, you know?
Yeah. I think when you bring people together with that right way, it's cool. And it's so cool to see you growing and you building, and I've done the same thing and being a part of that together. And I think everyone that walks into this place feels that energy of, hey, we don't know all the answers, but we're going to figure it out.
Yeah. 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 It's been fun. Trevor, you haven't said much. You have any comment on that?
I just love being in your presence.
I forgot he was here.
Damn.
Well, awesome. I think that definitely recaps the whole story pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of fun to reflect on it that way. Thanks for letting me be a part of it. And I'm excited to share more about this journey as well. It's been really, it's hilarious. Like, I'm not an influencer. I'm not one that's got a bunch of, I'm worried about getting a bunch of posts out there. Granted, I have 100 podcast episodes out there and a very loyal following there. But it's hilarious. Like, my biggest jump in followers is when you tagged me on a story one time. I was like, wow. Man, this fringe benefit of hanging out with Landon, by the way, people must think this guy's legit.
No, it's been mutually beneficial. I think you've taught me so much over the last year, you know, internally and like from a personal standpoint and then also just business standpoint. You're just all around a great dude. And so
you guys are just so cute together.
I know.
This is, should I leave? Should I walk out?
No,
should I let you guys be?
No, you can stay.
Oh, hey, okay. As the old saying goes, we found love in a hopeless place.
Yeah. Thank you, Rihanna. Anyways, guys, thanks so much for listening, watching this podcast episode. You actually can watch this on Spotify if you'd like to. We have that ability now.
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. This is Connor DeLynn, Trevor Call, as you know. Guys, if you liked this episode, go ahead, leave a review on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. Also, give us a follow. Obviously, the more follows, the more comments and reviews we have. It actually just, it makes the podcast more legit. It allows us to bring on really cool guests. So please take a second to do that if you have the chance. And anything else you guys like to say?
That's it. You're the man. Okay. Let's make it happen.
All righty. See you guys in the next episode. Peace
out. Bye.